Welcome to the Neoborn and Anya Human Show.
Welcome, dear Emmanuel. It's been so long. We haven't talked since last time we talked. And we did have a good interview in writing. And people can check it on your website, for example, emmanuelartsumania.com. And if they don't know how to pronounce it, doesn't mind, because Siri knows it, or whatever AI you want. They will know it because you have a progressive symphony death metal EP in the pipeline. And it's unique. And there's only one person who is doing that, and that is you, who is creating a symphonic version of whatsoever about this whole biblical or non-biblical traditions, history of the humanity. So that's one of a kind. You are one of a kind. You have a look, you have the look. You have the photos, you have the visuals. So Emmanuel, who goes by the name Raven sometimes too, but it's not that kind of show where Brandon Lee was shot on the show, but it's a different Raven. So anyway, how are you doing? What is going on with you? And yes, this is a kind of boring, maybe not, I don't know. It will be fun, because you are fun. Your music is great. And I stop talking.
All right. Thank you so much for inviting me here. I truly appreciate the opportunity. Additionally, I would like to express my gratitude for your kind words. I'm doing well so far, and I'm confident that this interview will be engaging and not boring at all. So with that said, let's begin.
Yeah, well, actually, it was, you know, just sarcasm, irony, fun, humor, excellence, friendliness, and empathy. These are the things that are missing in today's world. And without any of these, we can't create real music or real meaningful conversations. So, before starting, we will talk a little bit about what way to approach this. This is what I imagine for the people with this interview too. So, hey, the best part of the world, this is what the Earth and the people on Earth could be, can be, should be, ought to be. So, look, the world is really going sideways once again. You know, greasy, transnational politicians, technocrats, globalists, whatsoever, you know, with their broken mind, soullessness. And life for everybody else is just poor. But it's worse. It's shocking. It's kind of disturbing, for me at least. Although tens of millions of people like yourself know and understand this is not the right way, and they do differently, there is still a vast majority in the middle who are just compliers, and they do everything in their power not to pay attention to their inner signals. That they, hey, this is not how we should live, and I think this is how it is linked all together to your music. Because these are the people who create or produce or consume content, whether it is like writing or so-called music. I don't think it is music. What is happening now on, let's say, Spotify. So you have an art. You say that I had to wait 2 years to make it something like a big painting like Michelangelo, and 600 years later people will still remember for this. Then we're going on the rabbit hole of meaninglessness in the vanity matrix and so on. So the question is, if there is a question here, how do you find the energy in this every day is when you say, oh my God, still too many people who are just neglecting their true self and they just consume shite. Well, I'm trying to be polite here.
Yeah. When it comes to energy, I believe it all starts with the idea and the goal you have set for your life. For example, if you're a musician, you know where you want to go, and every step you take is a training process that brings you closer to your ultimate goal. Once you have that goal in mind, you become disciplined and motivated to do everything you can to achieve it. When you are composing a song, you start with an idea, which brings out the energy and motivation to create the music. As you continue to work on it and complete it, you become more satisfied and inspired, leading to a cycle of recycling that brings forth more energy and ideas. This continuous cycle happens step by step until you achieve your goal. And it's the same process every time.
For me, it sounds like a spiral. So you're saying that while the huge chunk of the world is experiencing a downward spiral, you, by creating and having a clear and clean idea, what is not that selfish, you have a spiral, but an upwards one. So it came to my mind the DNA. The DNA is a double spiral, something that it just breaks down for most of the people. And there are a few, hopefully more and more, like yourself, who have the upper part of that. So maybe it is. I mean, it's very symbolic, a little bit visual, that basically the energy is, yes, going back to the same place and you start to gain, but something is more wholesome, much greater. And it's totally the opposite. The other one, like people are in decline, who have less and less. You have more and more when you tap into this universal energy.
Exactly. Many people lack motivation because they have not identified their purpose in life. It's crucial to find your reason for being on this earth. Some individuals spend their days endlessly complaining without making any effort to create change in their lives. Conversely, creators such as writers, painters, or composers concentrate solely on their goals. Whether it's painting a picture or composing a song, they single-mindedly pursue their vision without concerning themselves with the opinions of others. So by focusing on their craft, they separate themselves from the masses who are not striving for personal excellence. Living a simple life is also wonderful, but complaining incessantly is not beneficial to anyone.
You know, I've been thinking of these things lately, that a lot of people are only reacting to what is happening in the world and they are not proactive. And I think somebody, you mentioned that people can enjoy life, but they shouldn't complain. And I think it is when you are in harmony with everything and you just balance it out. It's like a hike. You go up and down by the same mountain. And life is the same. Our heartbeat is the same. The sound waves are the same. These frequencies are the same direction. But there is a natural breeze in and out. And it's okay to enjoy the rest. It's okay to enjoy the harmony, the songbirds, the other people's music. Then suddenly go to the top of the mountain and climb. And now that's a new death metal album with symphony. And that's it. But when you give into negativity, and I think it's a big test for all of us, time to time, we just don't just decide, okay, we go on a brighter path once. It's like every day, almost every day, we have to reassure ourselves that we are committed, that we are not giving in to this, what is all around. Well, so I want to use the word shitefuckery, you know, but this is what is happening around the world. Sorry for the word, I will beep it out or not. And the thing is that there is notion, everybody is born the same. Yes, of course, different world, different parts of the world, different regions, different access to things. But basically, we are all newborns when we are coming to this earth. We have, to some extent, in some ways, we have the same chances, at least our soul. Maybe somebody who is born in a rich family in America probably have different, I don't know, childhood than somebody born in a tribal nation in Africa where there's a lack of water or whatsoever. But the chances to have to curate a soul which is curious, which is friendly to others, and which understands that, hey, all right, yes, of course, the world is for me, but I'm also for the world. I think that's the thing. I couldn't find a good answer why and how it is slipping away. How can we have these, I don't know, greasy Poe technocrats leaders once again forcing and trapping people to create war and enmity against each other instead of themselves going there and have their battle royal?
It's unfortunate, but the desire for power is what leads to war. Humans have an innate tendency to crave dominance, leading them to destroy everything in their path. Even after peace is achieved, another person rises with the same aspiration to overrule nations and cultures. So this is a natural cycle created by human nature, which to some extent is forgivable. However, it is excruciating to witness the deaths of innocent civilians and children in war. Unfortunately, this issue has been rampant in various parts of the world due to the overpowering greed of influential people who prioritize their selfish interests over the common good.
I hear you, and I think it's a very, very extended topic, to be fair. And you are writing a whole album about this.
Well, I wrote the EP which highlights various natural distractions that occurred as a result of human behavior, including our desires, lifestyle choices, and the way we treat other forms of life. For instance, one of my tracks, the fourth one, is about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a representation of the reckless lives the people lead in those cities, disregarding God entirely. As a result, God sends two angels to punish and remove this type of humanity, leaving only those who believe in and follow God. Although this may come across as religious, there are fundamental rules and regulations that everyone should adhere to. Following proper guidelines is essential to maintain a beneficial relationship with nature.
Good rules are important for every children. Maybe the decline of the West is happening these days more because some people have this very pushy agenda that they are saying that, hey, no child should have any boundaries, which is stupid. Have a child climb a tree and then a child will understand the limitation of their body. Yes, maybe it will be painful time to time, but now, for example, in Italy, it is not every city, but there are places when climbing tree is banned for children, which is nonsense. And this is one of my returning topic when I talk to people, that I think people are not designed to live in this type of urbanized areas. We are not designed to be cut off of the nature. And in nature, I'm not talking about these fast food companies' food. I'm not talking about the city parks. I'm talking about the real one.
Well, I completely agree with you. Fast food and other processed foods are incredibly unhealthy for our bodies, and it's disturbing to see how many people continue to consume them daily. Instead of taking the time to cook a healthy meal at home, many individuals prefer to indulge in unhealthy options when eating out. It's crucial to reconnect with nature as it's beneficial for both humans and animals. Unfortunately, we are moving further and further away from nature and embracing an increasingly artificial lifestyle. This unhealthy behavior could pose a significant danger to our future.
It is a kind of arrogance. It's a kind of high nosing that people say, I know it better. I know better than... And you mentioned earlier that, oh, it's religious, it's God. And so, I would never shy away to say this. Why? Because wherever you go, any part of the world, doesn't mind what type of religion, what kind of tribal faith or traditions we are talking about, they all talk about the things that, hey, something was ideal, there was a purpose, and something went wrong and people kept choosing the wrong answers for their actions throughout their history. And this is common everywhere. We have the legends of, let's say, Atlantis, which is less religious, this way I say, what was human hubris? That, okay, so we are gods. No, we are not gods. We have the godly values, but we don't know anything. And when you mentioned that the cooking, I love cooking. I love cooking from scratch. I love making my food. And it takes time, but it's amazing. It's like a prayer. It's like a meditation.
Well, eating organic foods is not only beneficial for cooking, but also for overall health. As I was reading one book, it highlighted how every piece of food we eat gets absorbed by our bodies, becoming a part of us. If we consume unhealthy processed foods, it negatively impacts our bodies and overall health. In contrast, by including healthy fruits, vegetables, and organic foods in our diets, we can improve our mental and physical health. The food we eat directly affects our body's performance, ability to learn, and overall growth.
And how you feel, how you are connected. I mean, by now, science proved that gut health is important. It proved that now 70% of your non-conscious brain activity basically happens in your gut, what is crazy, but it's true. And I proved there is no real impenetrable brain barrier, so things go up, although toxic and poison too. Of course, there is this Christian type tradition when they say that you are what you eat. And it's true for spiritual things, for your soul to eat. And one thing comes to mind always, which is, yeah, we said it's tiring to make the food. And so, yeah, it is. But which is less expensive and maybe more beneficial? Having this kind of efforts when we are young, or the greater medical bills and chronic illnesses later on? because it's and that's also go for what we read, what we eat. I, because of my work, I really need to look up a lot of things, you know, dealing with the news and it's just everything. But what I eat from it is different. Why? Because I still know how to pray, how to meditate, and yes, I think I still able to cry when somebody is suffering unrighteously, and I try not to give in. My tool to protect myself and try to challenge others in a little bit better way than, you know, giving into the doom and the gloom is sarcasm, irony, and a certain humor, which works when the other party is a little bit conscious about the history or whatever, or self-aware. But I don't know how you do this. This is a question. But I realized that these days, humor, fun, sarcasm, irony, on anything what is like multi-layered, like in music or like in painting, is like denied, neglected, and you yourself are challenged that, hey, you are stupid because you dare to become more than quick fast food, ultra-processed art. I think this is it. Content makers creating ultra-processed food for the soul, and this is toxic. That's cancer.
I could not agree with you more. Many creators are producing works that lack soul or personal touch. Rather, they focus on generating artificial pieces for popularity or personal gain, pursuing money, likes, and followers without any genuine intention. Achieving fame may seem appealing, but it's essential to remain true to oneself and prioritize honesty above it all. Ultimately, being honest with oneself and maintaining authenticity is more valuable than obtaining fame for the sake of others.
Something is missing, and people without giving themselves the chance to grow and mature into, they want to have it right now. This is why it is wrong to have supermarkets like 365 days you have tomatoes, bananas, whatever. This is not normal. It is not normal because kids are saying that, hey, yeah, daddy, I just want this. And okay, well, but this is not the time for that. It has to grow. It has to. And there used to be a tradition in the countryside that people planted trees. And for example, a walnut tree was always planted for their grandchildren because that is a long time when it comes out. But even for a cherry, sour cherry, whatever, it takes like 10 years, 15 years, you know, apple trees. And this is a natural way of things. But now people are throwing away their pets, their dogs, cats, if this, you know, too much of a challenge. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole because it's very saddening, but even they throw away their children to back to the foster care if they, hey, I want, oh no, it's not the one, let's throw it out. So it's like stupid. What is your mechanism, coping mechanism, I can't speak, I drink a tea. See, this is my tradition, this is my trademark, I drink tea because I can't speak. So, and it's green tea, which is healthy. So, what is your coping mechanism to protect yourself from this kind of negativity, what you don't let to enter to your soul yet, because it's too much surrounding everybody, and most probably yourself too? How can you prevent yourself not to be angered, triggered, and shake the shoulders of other people? Hey, wake up, that's the wrong way.
Anger is a natural human emotion, and I also feel it at times. However, it's crucial to prioritize protecting ourselves from toxic and negative surroundings. In those situations, I tend to take a step back and refrain from getting involved. If someone begins to speak negatively, I follow the rule of not engaging in a combat of words and instead move forward, avoiding any drama. Having a negative conversation usually leads to more toxicity, you know, and it's vital to steer away from it.
It makes sense.
As a general rule, I follow my intuition and trust my instincts when it comes to dealing with difficult situations. To protect myself, I always remain at a safe distance from toxic individuals and avoid accepting their negative thoughts and energy. Each person has their opinions and beliefs, and it's their right to express themselves, even if those opinions are unfavorable. So if someone wants to talk negatively, I lay them and keep a healthy distance away.
I see. So you mentioned you have an inner voice. I think most people mute it because they just they can't deal that their inner voice is not aligned with the direction of their lives and everyday things. You are right. For example, if you try to challenge a narcissist, it will beat you because he's more professional in that game.
I totally agree with you. Negative people tend to practice negativity daily, and it becomes a part of their life.
Yeah.
Perhaps they are unsuccessful in their professional or personal life, or they could not achieve what they wanted, resulting in anger directed at the world.
So this negativity results in the creation of
a darker side of the soul. It reminds me of the story of Star Wars, where one of the main characters became part of the dark side due to hate. It's saddening to witness the impact of hatred on people and how it affects their lives.
I think you are talking about Darth Vader, you know, from Star Wars. And it has a good original story, how he goes sideways. And I think we all need real saviors, like Luke Skywalker. And it's a good story. He becomes kind of a savior, and he feels that we can also have the right choice to do that. And what is interesting comes to my mind that the Sith and the Jedi had the same roots, and it's all about choosing differently. Even the Battlestar Galactica had the same thing before, you know, the whole humanity, far away, other galaxy, good and bad, different choices, and then, you know, humanity evolves. And I think it's all about in this pop culture and in ourselves to accept the very thing that we have a dark side inside, and we are not immune to the negative energy because it's still in us and it is us. And although it can bring doom to our soul, because, oh my God, what if I'm not better than others? But I think in the everyday life, we can choose. And in this way, we can become more like Batman than Joker.
Yeah, even though Joker was portrayed as a villain in the story, he was not the bad guy. In many ways, he represents the opposite of human beings, who tend to treat him poorly. His character served as a mirror reflection of the way people behave in real life and how they treat others. The way they treat life and others is what leads to societal problems. And many times people justify their behavior even though it is flawed. In that sense, Joker's character represented a justified response to the inhuman actions of others, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's crazy because he was just a normal guy. He had normal questions before he went full-fledged crazy. And if we see from that perspective, the answer from Bruce Wayne / Batman is the wrong answer, that somebody's immature, emotionally undeveloped, and all the muscle power will win. Of course, he was mistreated. But when the mind of Joker goes away, you know, it's different, of course. But before that, originally, he was the victim in the society, and he was not necessarily the bad guy, because the society around him was the bad guy.
Exactly. That's the point. As we approach our last conversation, we were discussing how people tend to spread negativity around them. Joker unfortunately allowed the negativity to affect him and dealt with it in a brutal way, which he thought was the only way to retaliate. That's how he chose to respond to it.
Yeah, so it's a written question that if you are mad in a crazy world, does that mean that you are normal?
That's a good question. The answer depends on the specific context of the situation. It's counterproductive to label oneself as good simply because someone else behaves badly. Instead, accepting the situation for what it is and figuring out how to move forward without getting caught up in the negativity would be ideal. It's best to avoid getting bogged down in trivial matters and focus on bigger goals. Sometimes, it's important to prioritize your own well-being and not care too much about how others treat you. Eventually, karma will take care of everything, so there is no need to worry excessively.
Yeah, for me it's not always that easy, but yeah, when you draw a line in the sand, and you know, from there you go from the other direction. That's line of sand, and you know from that where you go from there.
Yeah, just accept your nature and embrace what is meant to be. Move forward without allowing negative energy from your surroundings to affect you. Let those who want to fight with their desires and energy do so. Karma will eventually come back to them. As you go with the flow of life like a river, do not force or invite any kind of disturbance into your life, you know?
This is my experience, and you might have a different one. I don't know, you tell me that for a long while in my formative years, I thought because I had negative thought, because I'm not too negative, but you know, I felt negative energy inside, then I thought, oh, I was a bad person. And then I realized that action matters. What I speak, what I do. That is the decision. What is inside is inside. That's not done yet. For example, when you're boiling water, you can boil eggs or you can cook soup. Or you can burn your skin. It's your decision.
Indeed. That's a great phrase you mentioned. It's unfortunate that some people are more interested in damaging themselves than doing something good for themselves. I used to have a negative outlook on life when I was younger, as I had yet to gain enough life experience to understand the world around me. Instead, I would fight against situations that were not going my way. But that approach never worked out well. When you fight against nature, you will never achieve anything, and things could even get worse. For example, in the music industry, I've noticed this happening more often than not. It's important to learn how to work with the flow of things rather than against it. I aspire to become a skilled musician and have always been inspired by others who play intricate solos and display impressive techniques. Although I worked hard to achieve this level of skill, I realized that it's not my natural inclination. While it helped me improve my technique, I neglected my true inner self in the process. So I have observed that many musicians forcefully shred, which can be harmful to their own inner well-being.
And in the process, you had to become yourself. You had to become Emmanuel, because everybody else was already taken.
It seems that the intention behind striving for attention and impressing others is often to gain validation and recognition, rather than creating art from the heart. However, impressing others can be an excellent motivational aspect, similar to working out at the gym. Nonetheless, it's important to be cautious and not push too hard, as it has the potential to cause harm. It's better to stay within safe limits and leave some room for growth, you know?
Wise words, wise words. I don't think too many people think that deep these days, but I think it's meaningful. And what is interesting that what you say, because long, long time ago, you know, different galaxy. For example, I myself used to have 3 trainings a day. I was a competitor, a sportsman, and so on. And long story short, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the pain. But after a while, I realized, you know, it's the pain what I enjoy. Why do I enjoy the pain? And it's not because it's a part of the process, but I enjoy the pain because I wanted to feel it, because it was a greater sensation or a kind of distraction from something else what I should have resolved. So when I realized that, then I knew that I have a job to work on myself.
Yeah, it gives you kind of power, and at some point the pain can even help to heal you. Similar to when you work out in the gym, you feel an inner strength that allows you to push through challenges. This confidence is a great feeling and energizes you for life. However, it's important to be careful not to lift too much weight and risk injury, like the example of Ronnie Coleman, a once great bodybuilder who unfortunately injured himself. So while the feeling of power is great, it's important to find balance and avoid causing harm to your body.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger has this so-called pump club, and it has a newspaper and a podcast too. And he was once asked him one day that, why about lifting a car in the new series he had in Fubar, I guess that was. And I don't know, he said that he could do that, but that would be irresponsible because there would be a big chance to be hurt. And he just, you know, went through like the third or fourth heart surgery. And now, right now, he's happy to take like 10,000 steps a day. But he goes back to training after a few weeks. And I personally can appreciate him to show that, hey, I'm also fragile. He wasn't fragile in the first 50 years of his life. Then he fogged up the sinks, and then he realized that he needs to heal together with his soul and his body. So, yeah, the thing is that we shouldn't judge ourselves at all. We shouldn't judge ourselves based on the internet or other people saying or ourselves that, hey, I should have trained like this and that and that. It's okay to work out, and it's okay to skip things. It's okay to be kind to ourselves when we have a plan. You are a very, very busy person. You also have plan, and you might have a day when you can't finish what you wanted because external circumstances, situations comes in, or you inside have a turmoil. And if you are kind to yourself, then it's okay. You move on. But if you beat yourself up, it will be terrible. You know, I don't know. We should live like 160, 200 years on Earth. I don't know. For example, Stallone, who's a big, you know, big guy too, who also a painter. He was first a painter before a writer, actor, bodybuilder. He started when he was 9 years old. And his first exhibition was 47 years later. And he's good in that. But he cultivated everything inside. And he put it into action, his form. For example, before he wrote Rocky, he told in one of the interviews that, hey, before I wrote that one, and before I became this accomplished writer, I prepared that, like, I painted these things, this sensitive person. And that's it. And he also saw that, look, this is my painting. What do you think it is? Is it Dandelion? And people say, no, it's not. It's a sort of a Dandelion. Because this is how he expresses himself. And he dares to share a lot of very deep human things. And it's good that when you can apply this kind of evolvement to life, then you can understand that you could reach so big things. Okay, he was a big star in the 80s and the 90s, maybe even today. But because without this self-knowledge, these small snippets of truth, what they went through, and kind of become godlike figures, you know, and people would worship them. But you are there, and we are here. And I will never be able to do what you can do there. And, you know, it's maybe it's a big stretch, but hear me out. So there is this Jesus problem. If Jesus is a God, you know, then I don't have a responsibility because I will never be able to achieve what they do. So we have an idol, yeah, any of these great people we mentioned, and then, okay, oh, sorry, I will never achieve that one. But if you say it's a God-like figure, it is somebody with godly values, then it's my responsibility to kick myself in the butt, you know, not to neglect it, and then I work myself up. You mentioned that you wanted to be a virtuous technical player, and you could, but you didn't find joy that much that you expected you would find.
Well, when striving for success as a musician, it's important to ask yourself why you're doing it. It's not about just playing 1,000 notes, but creating a meaningful piece of music. Sometimes you need to take time to reflect and find yourself as a musician and perhaps try composing music. It's not necessary to force a certain number of notes into a song, but rather to focus on the context and give attention to each instrument. It's not only important to focus on one's own instrument, like in my case, the guitar, but also to appreciate the contribution of the other instruments. Without them, your music is not complete. It's just a collection of small details.
Yeah, actually it makes me think. And it's like a conversation. It's like a musical sentence. And for example, I told this to my kids the other day. They were playing guitar and they tried some jazzish classical version of something and they couldn't do it. And I told them, hey, don't play the sounds. Listen to the whole sentence, the musical sentence. And even if you fork it up, you can't figure it out, the next time it will be okay because you will know where to go after that. You will feel it. It's a kind of vibration. To be fair, I love listening to virtuous techniques, classical, hard metal, whatever. But I don't feel good in my soul after an hour listening to that. So I mute it off. And, it's a real thing, but I would listen to Bach all day long.
That's exactly how it works. Like you, I also enjoy hearing virtuosic musicians, regardless of whether they play guitar or violin or other instruments. It does not matter. However, after a few minutes, your ears can get tired of hearing only technical aspects. It's important to appreciate the entire piece of music. For instance, I enjoy listening to songs like Peace of Mind by the band Boston, which is not a technical piece of music. It's made up of just a few chords and phrases, but it's a beautiful song that can be enjoyed every day and leave you feeling good. So it's a balance between technicality and appreciate beauty in simplicity.
Yeah, because in music, less is more. And the silence, we need to have the inner silence.
That's very true. There is a meaningful phrase that goes, less is more and more is less. It's important to understand that sometimes simplicity can be more impactful than complexity.
There was this band, Pet Shop Boys, and they have this song, Love Inc., And there's this line, it's a sarcastic song, and this line, more and more is never enough.
Well, we are now moving into the first hour about desire. Many people feel the need to constantly show off their skills by playing more notes or trying to outdo others. While this can add excitement to our lives, it's not the most important thing for artists. Whether you're a musician, painter, or a writer, the key is to discover your own inner truth and give what you truly feel to your art. This contribution to the art form should be the driving force. Only then can you bring happiness to others and bring joy to the universe.
I love hearing you. But let me ask you this. You learn music at university. You went to different places. Where do these things, these wisdoms, come from? Shaped throughout the years, or was it a big teacher who said, hey, this is it, and you just clicked it, clicked on it, and then you said, hey, or said, I'm really curious about it. Because honestly, if you are okay to talk about this university thing, because it might be a great place with good people, it might have a good special meaning. But these days, it's pretty much, I don't know, it's somehow it's neglected and somehow not the easiest part in the world to talk about our inner feelings. And somehow, it's like a kind of unrighteous what is happening all around. And it sounds like to me that that kind of special spice, flavor, taste, whatever you are doing, at least partly, originated from there.
Well, I have always wanted to learn music in a classical way, starting with music school and then college and conservatory. The steps are often seen as necessary to become a great musician, but it's not always the case. When I was at the music conservatory in Hamburg, I saw many people who played jazz but didn't have a unique style. They were just playing from the book and following the teacher's instructions, and they risked being lost in the noise. Well, maybe they could find work in a jazz orchestra, they will never be able to express themselves fully in their music and will eventually disappear. It's important to be your own person and have your own style in music. It's important for artists not to get stuck in cycles, even if they have a great potential. If they don't find their own voice and style, they may never reach their full potential. That's why I chose not to continue with the traditional step-by-step approach to music education. While I did have a dream of attending a school like Berklee College of Music in Boston, the cost and time commitment were not in line with my nature. Instead, I found my own path in creating music and was inspired by great musicians to develop my technical skills and unique voice.
You know, what comes to mind that most meaningful artists in 20th century, and I think before that, composers, you know, they did not really go to school that much. They did, but not that much. Maybe they had some tutors, but and they learned literally from their masters, but they stood there, they chanted, this is the best, this is how I learned a lot of things too. But, you know, maybe we can say that in the 21st century, we can't have the luxury to hang out with others anymore. But, well, we can on the internet.
Well, some of the most innovating artists and composers of the 20th century did not receive a formal education. Instead, they learned directly from their mentors and tutors. This hands-on approach allowed them to experiment, try new things, and develop their unique style. Even today, while we may not have the same luxury to spend as much time with others, we can still learn from each other. Collaboration and sharing experiences can lead to new artistic discoveries and growth. We should always strive to learn from each other to expand our artistic horizons.
Yeah, being a musician or being a performer, for me, it was always different. I tell you why. Well, on the one hand, performance is like a one-timer. It's like in a theater. And of course, same thing, but never the same. And you are there, you do your best, of course. And you are really, maybe people can't see it, but you're really preparing for that. And it's a one-timer. Who goes there, they experience it. And you know it, they see it. And if you are a so-called musician, then you are reliably, you know, like kind of a human biological garage band something.
Well, I understand what you are saying. It's not necessarily true that being a performer makes you more professional than being a garage band musician. It really depends on what the individual wants to achieve. If someone wants to perform live shows and make a career out of it, that's great. But if someone prefers to make music on their own and not perform live, that's also perfectly valid. As long as they are happy and fulfilled in what they are doing, that's what really matters. Personally, I enjoy both playing music on my own and performing live. There is a special feeling of joy when you're performing in front of a live audience and seeing their reaction to your music. It's an incredible experience to see people enjoying what you have created and having a positive impact on their lives. It's not just about the virtual world, but creating something real and tangible for people to experience. Even if not everyone is completely engaged, it's okay because music is a personal experience and can connect with people in different ways. It's all about sharing something you love with others and creating a meaningful connection through music.
Yes, and you are also saving the people. So, there are a lot of people who you know, might have somebody emotionally, spiritually help you to get through the night. And this is a responsibility. This is, for example, if you create content, then who cares? It's a noise. But if you really, really have something in that, if you are really in there, you know, with your presence and your performance to play, the people will sense it.
Well, when you are performing live, there is a special kind of connection that you can form with the audience. It's a unique experience that cannot be replicated in any other medium. There is something about sharing your music with others and feeling their energy as you perform that creates a real and powerful connection. While some may perform for fun, there is also a deep spiritual aspect to performing music. Musicians have the opportunity to share their own creativity, passion, and energy with others. When performing live, you can truly immerse yourself in the moment and spread that energy to the audience in a way that cannot be experienced through recordings or other mediums. It's a feeling unlike anything else, and it's one of the greatest experiences that an artist can have. Overall, I believe that it's important for artists to share their work and connect with others through their music. It's a way to bring people together and create a shared experience that's both meaningful and unforgettable.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I mean, it's like for even paintings. A lot of people are just running through, you know, in an exhibition and don't, you know, even care what is there. But a few of us, you know, we are there so we can check, oh, the lights are coming from here, from that direction. So maybe there's a reason there. So let's think of that. It's a kind of investment what it requires. And I think this is it. A good song requires you. And the best what you can give the most is that it's not only that you buy the album, but also that you give time. Because what is the most what you can give in the present is the time when you think of the person you want to gift, for example, for Christmas. That's the most precious. And in the music, for example, and this is my also story, when I was younger, I didn't have good equipment at all. And just, you know, I just listened, and then later I had better one. And that, but for example, I had the same cassette tape, and then I had a better thing, and I listened, oh, the same song, but something was different. And, oh, that is there. I never heard that. So I invested myself in it, and I tried to crack this song up, you know. Of course, it was not always at everything, because sometimes it was just popular rock, you know. But then just, you know, what was that? Oh, it's like a poem. It's like the linear thing. And then with music, it's, of course, it's kind of entertainment. But it's also like a painting when we have the brush with the soul connection to the universe, as we are talking about it and saying that, hey, this is kind of same quantum reality, but from this perspective.
Sometimes having a cheap or poor quality instrument can actually be a good thing because it makes you appreciate what you have even more. I also remember starting out with my first guitar, which had a broken bridge, and thinking how amazing it was to have something to play on. It was a source of pride and joy to have an instrument to call my own and to be able to play music on it. Even now, when I think about those early days, I'm reminded of the feeling of excitement and anticipation that I had when I first started playing. It's a feeling that I think many musicians can relate to. As you mentioned, it's also interesting to think about the reactions of others when you are carrying your instrument around. People may see you as an outsider or a bit strange, but that does not matter because you are doing something you love and pursuing your passion. In the end, it's not about the quality of the gear that you have, but about the joy and passion that you bring to the music. It's important to remember those early days and to never lose sight of the love that you have for playing music. That's what keeps us going, even when times are tough and gear may be scarce, you know.
Maybe it's about breaking the matrix. It's like breaking the everyday, the treadmill. And if you think of that, we are talking about, let's say, the unfortunate situations in many places, the wars. But music is always a common language. Music is always there to soothe at least your voice when you sing. So somehow this inner truth, when you are really resonating with your higher self, celestial existence, there are many ways to express it. I like calling it vibration, God, and so on. But then you feel yourself, that goosebumps everywhere, that you feel that something is changing around you, and it doesn't matter if it's like for 5 children or 200,000 people in front of you. It's there.
Yes, it's an incredible feeling to have the ability to create music that connects with the entire universe. It's more than just a sound. It's like taking a piece of the universe and infusing it into each song. Some may say it's like giving a part of your soul into the music. After the imprinting process, the listener receives this gift and is left to experience and interpret it in their own way, relating to their own life and experiences. As a musician, you are not just giving your music, but also offering a bit of yourself to those who listen.
Yeah, I think there are two versions of this, okay? One is when you are giving away yourself and there will be nothing at the end. And that's the wrong way. That's the reason why people are, you know, drunk, you know, or addicted, you know, a lot of musicians and so on. But there's another way, as you mentioned, the imprint version. When you create an imprint on others' soul, but you yourself also grow more. And is it a self-service? No. So either you are chipping away from your soul, doesn't mind what you do, music, acting, whatever, and the other is when you always step back to your original self. You are always mindful to what it is, let's say God in you, what is real in you. And then maybe, not necessarily pushing that idea, but somehow you resonate without knowing, and that will be reflected on your performance.
Yeah, you're right. There is nothing quite like having the ability to create music that speaks to people on a deeper level. The feeling you get when people hear and enjoy your songs is truly incredible. It's a great sense of achievement.
Speaking of achievement, okay, let's talk about the songs that are coming out by you, okay? So let's bring out those things, because these are absolutely against the tides all around. We have now 1 minute songs, 2 minute songs, garage band songs, garbage band songs, you know, whatever. But it's like, you know, oh, I'm a musician, I push the button, I'm a musician. Give me the money, show me the money. You know, there are people like that, and they can't even sing or play the guitar or whatever. But I try not to judge them. It's hard, but yeah, I judge. Yeah, but not because they are trying it. I don't have problem if somebody's trying it. You know, they're creating the first 50 bad songs. But because they claim immediately that, yeah, oh, I am great. But it is not how it works. So every day, there are 80,000 content pieces uploaded every day to, let's say, Shitify. It's Spotify, but yeah. So, but then you say, okay, you know what? You yourself, you said, you wait for your time, 2 years. You make this album. Every song, let's say, will be 8, 10, 20 minutes long. And, you know, then I will give it a chance that this is the history. So let's go through. And I think it is a kind of rebellious movement. It's an anti-establishment movement. And this is saying that, you know that, fork off. I think this is what you do. This is the same.
Initially, the concept was to focus on fallen angels, but we eventually decided to shift our theme towards lost civilizations that were restricted by nature, such as Pompeii, Atlantis, Iram of the Pillars, and Sodom and Gomorrah. We wanted to explore the history and the mystery surrounding the fall of these civilizations in a way that captures the listener's attention and imagination. It was a fascinating experience to explore the natural and godlike aspects of these lost civilizations. The concept of featuring Pompeii and the eruption of Mount Vesuvius was incredibly appealing, as was delving into the mysteries of Atlantis, Iram of the Pillar, and Sodom and Gomorrah. We wanted to associate each song with one of the five core elements: fire, water, earth, and air, for added depth and exploration. Our initial song, focusing on the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, was grounded in the element of fire and destruction. Atlantis was a natural fit for water, while the story of Iram of the Pillar revolved around sand and earth. We were struck by the unique nuances and chose to incorporate them into the songs.
In today's world, I think everything what you said sounds a little bit controversial, because it's a picturesque idea. It's like a deep thought behind everything. It's a big process, and somehow it's like a big painting. So anyway, so when will this album or EP be available? How can people get their hands on it?
Currently, we are in the midst of the video production and focusing on creating two separate playthroughs. The first playthrough will feature our other guitar player and serve as a guitar-only rendition of the first song. The second playthrough will see the addition of keyboard player and showcase both instruments together in a rendition of the second song. Once we have completed filming the entire tracks for both songs, we will determine their release date, but are tentatively aiming for August.
Okay, so it's like a big hot summer thing that is coming out. So, cool. So, does it mean that I can have a vinyl record if I go to my nearest vinyl shop? Or, well, there are no record shops anymore, but how can I get anything physical? Or would it be only just streaming? Because, you know, this music, what you create, I heard some earlier, it's not for MP3 players.
To begin with, I plan on releasing each song as a single on all major digital streaming platforms and accompanying them with playthrough videos. Following this, I will release the entire EP as one cohesive piece. As for a CD release, it is still too early to determine its feasibility. However, should there be a sizable audience expressing interest in having a physical copy, I will certainly consider it.
Because people want to have connection, you know, it's all about connection. Maybe you don't even have a CD player, but you meet your favorite person, favorite musician, and say, okay, this is it, I'm taking it with myself. So, but, you know, maybe your new album won't be listened as much on the first day as, let's say, Taylor Swift's latest, but it's okay, because you don't need content listeners. You need real people with real ears and soul. And I think it is what it should be, because what I know about your album, what I heard from your music, is like a testament. It's a testament where you are standing, who you are. And I think this is good. People want this connection, and you are helping them to connect with themselves too through your music. And maybe this is why we need physical copies, I don't know. But because it's not just, you know, first thing is to listen a song through a phone, because everybody's doing that, you know, so streaming companies and so on. But it's good to collect things, you know, because it's cool, it's awesome, it's you know, that you also work for, you know, with studios and other artists to release their own things. So then how can you be contacted to work with others? Because I don't want to use the word like hire, but it's not the right word here, because you're more like an artist. But how can people find you if they think that, all right, I like these ideas, I like this personality, and I want to create, let's say, my new hip-hop song or whatever with this person, with Emmanuel, because this is something great, bigger and greater.
I have a website where I can easily be located, and in addition, I can be reached through my Instagram account. I don't use Facebook or TikTok or similar platforms, as I'm not particularly fond of social media. My Instagram account serves mainly to provide updates about my musical pursuit. However, communicating with me is quite simple. Just drop me a message on my Instagram account. I'm always happy to connect with fans and supporters alike.
So, you are open to have new talents to work with?
Of course, I would love to work with exceptional and passionate musicians or singers. I truly value the creativity that comes from their unique perspectives and appreciate seeing them channel their innermost emotions in their work. It's incredibly fascinating to me, and I'm definitely keen to explore such collaborations.
Amazing, amazing. So your website link will be in the description, so people can really click on and they can find you. That's the fastest way. So I am really a fan of yours, your souls, your honesty, and to be fair, your integrity. And to me, this is what matters the most these days. And of course, you are a master of your guitar, so that's also an extra on the top. I would suggest anybody to check out your songs, music, and just save some money to have your album both in the autumn or in August, whenever it is coming out.
I would deeply appreciate it if visitors to my page took the time to explore other artists I have worked with, as they have had tremendous impact on the quality of my music. Without their input and creativity, my music would not have the depth and richness it has today. Amongst these artists are several notable names, such as Christopher, the lyricist and insane harsh vocalist, Mauro Elias. His clean and raspy vocal style is truly one of kind. Francesco Antonelli, talented and expert keyboardist and orchestral arranger. Chris Baum, another passionate artist, played the drums for me, while Richard Gray, an excellent bass player, was responsible for the iconic bass lines. Leslie Carlos Damiano, who served as lead guitarist and soloist, deserves special recognition as he played beautiful melodic solos. I'd also like to take a moment to mention Federico Maroici, my exceptional audio engineer for this project. He has consistently shown a passionate dedication to his song, and his expertise in audio engineering has played a vital role in shaping the high-quality sound of my music.
All right, that's very noble that you give them a shout-out, Rare. We will make sure that their contact will be also in the description below, so people can check them out too. And, well, I'm just looking at the cover of your things, and I'm trying to find who is who. So once again, thank you for taking the time, okay? I really would like to see you again, maybe a little bit later or before the album is coming out, to continue this. I find it interesting, and I think it's very deep what you have inside. And I think a lot of people can connect to it. And I just hope that anybody who listens to this today will tune in once again, because so many valuable thoughts and different ideas, you know, than this everyday thing suggests all around. And it can give back hope to humanity.
Well, I am deeply grateful for the outstanding interview or podcast. It was an absolute pleasure getting to know you personally. I must say you are a genuinely kind-hearted individual, and I truly appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. I'm humbled by your compliments concerning my upcoming projects and songs. It motivates me to continue working hard to produce exceptional music. I hope our connection continues to thrive and we remain in touch in the future.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, have a nice one. And dear listeners, your time is now. Check out Emmanuel and their mates in the links and their songs.
This has been the Neoborn and Andia Human Show. From behind Jupiter in a hidden moon at a secret base in an undisclosed location.